I look forward to the weekly house updates.
Thanks, boy, Vicker. We do too.
Oh, I'm sure. I am so sure. Do they have like a projection of when they think you will be in?
We're hoping May. Hopefully. June at the absolute latest.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's not too far off.
No. We'll blink and it'll be here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's fun to drive by and see the neighbors looking at it. So then we can meet the neighbors as well. We haven't knocked on doors yet because of the COVID thing, but we're meeting them as they're outside with the kids and everything. It's been fun.
Oh, fun. Good morning to everyone joining. All the people in the Zoom land. As one of my favorite undergrad professors would call this.
Good morning, Millers, Anansons, Jensens, Allisons, Patillas. Millers, Zubaks. If I don't greet you by name, it's because your name isn't on your little box. Hi, Chris Miller. I suppose we should write some rules of etiquette. If somebody doesn't turn their camera on, they probably don't want you to yak at them. And if they turn their camera on, they're probably okay with that. There should be something, some rule like that. I don't know what it is. You would think 2 years into the pandemic, we would have figured all these things out by now.
Should be a like guidebook. Awesome.
Vicar, why don't you write that? You could make sure. A fortune.
Absolutely.
You could dedicate it to your Zoom worship friends.
My Zoom worship friends. I love Zoom worship, honestly. It's kind of great. Welcome, everybody. I am so glad to everybody who's joining us. Let's start out with a hymn, and we'll turn things over to Pastor for a hot minute.
This woman has it. Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, welcome. We are going to start the service with some. We are going to start the service with some announcements from Pastor, just to kind of help fill in a pattern for this Zoom worship. So, Pastor.
Okay, if I have my mic on, I'm ready. I want to welcome all of you to worship. This is the second Sunday in the season of Epiphany, and a special welcome to any visitors that might be joining us. I want to start with just a couple of announcements because everything feels a little jumbled up because of the pandemic. Yesterday, the positivity rate for Polk County hit 32%, really an unimaginable level, in my opinion, higher, I believe, than at any time in 2021. And we know it's the Omicron variant, and it's mercifully a little more mild than the Delta variant and the prior variants, but it's going really fast. And so you all know that it's straining the hospitals and the medical community some. And so we're taking extra precautions, including we're going to remind you a little more often than we usually do about our online services, and we are making all of our in-person services also online services for people that may want to just stay home. And there's another gift that people are choosing when they decide to worship online. That is, for those who do come in person, it gives them a little more room to spread out in the sanctuary, and therefore everyone in the sanctuary can be a little more safe. So I want to thank all of you for all you're doing to get through this present surge, which of course we pray and think might be a short one, given that it is rising so fast. Hopefully it will fall as fast as it has risen. So please be careful and keep in touch if there's things you need or ways in which we can help. I think every day this week, I got a phone call about somebody testing positive for COVID. So let's just keep the whole community in our prayers. Last week, I told you that Debbie tested positive. She had a mild case. It lasted about a week. She's now 2 weeks in, and I've tested three times, and I've stayed negative all three times. So I'm feeling safe to be around people. I'm wearing a mask when people get too close. But please be safe, and thank you for your prayers. One effect of the pandemic is that we are moving our annual meeting online. We did this last year, and it worked pretty well. So we will gather on Zoom. You don't have the link yet, but we'll send it out this week more than once, so it'll be easy to log into. Because we're doing the annual meeting online, we're also going to be voting online, and voting starts today at noon. You'll be getting an email, I think from Linda Queck, with the ballot for the budget, representatives for council, delegates to the Senate Assembly, and I believe nominees for the nominating committee. You'll have 72 hours to vote on this first round. So starting today at noon and going till Wednesday at noon. We end the first round on Wednesday. In case we need a second or even a third round, we can get those in before the annual meeting comes along. If you have any questions, feel free to call the office and we'll help you get started with that. There are paper ballots available as well. So if that can be done by calling or stopping by the office. So watch your email for ballots and annual meeting information. Finally, this is Food Pantry Weekend in Johnston. The Christian churches of Johnston all get along pretty well. We work together on lots of projects, including once a month, we make a special plea for the food pantry. In the past, people brought items and we would sometimes have a designated item. During the pandemic, sadly, that's been less possible. And the food pantries reminded us that they can actually do more with our financial gifts than they can with our gifts of items. So if you've already given to the food pantry this month, thank you. If you haven't and you'd like to, an easy way to do that is www.stjamesjohnston.org. Look for the green give button. There's a drop-down menu, and one of the items is the food pantry. And we appreciate all you do to support that ministry for our neediest of neighbors. And Vicar, I believe that's all my announcements, unless you're remembering something that I'm forgetting.
Nope, I think you covered it all.
All right.
Okay, awesome. We are going to continue our worship service together with confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of the Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As called by the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and also with you. Let us pray. Lord God, source of every blessing, you showed forth your glory and led many to faith by the works of your Son, who brought gladness and salvation to his people. Transform us by the spirit of their love, that we may find our life together in them. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The first reading today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 62. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication and all the kings of your glory. And you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give you. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate. But you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delighted in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your builder marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And the second reading from 1 Corinthians. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be misinformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, let Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except for the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but all are in the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but in the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but in the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom, and to another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, and to yet another, the gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, the discernment of spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our gospel lesson for today is from the gospel according to St. John. And it begins in the second chapter. Excuse me a minute while I fiddle with my camera. It begins in the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. When he was in Jerusalem during the Passover festival, many believed in his name because they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, would not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to testify about anyone. For he himself knew what was in everyone. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. This little episode is a protest. And if it were anyone other than Jesus, I think we would all object to what we have just seen in our mind's eye, just heard with our own ears. If this was happening not in the temple in Jerusalem, but down by Merle Hay Mall or at the state capitol or at the United States Capitol, I think we'd object. I think we would say it's too angry, it's too violent, it's too dangerous. Whips, overturned tables, loud, angry voices, challenges, accusations, talk of destruction. And it was a protest against the essential elements of temple worship, against the animal changers, and animals were necessary, against the money changers, and changing filthy Roman coins into Jewish temple coins was necessary. And the effect of this protest was, at least for a time, to prevent the temple from operating, to shut down temple worship. And do you remember in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this is the event that begins Holy Week, which is to say, this is the event as much as any that got Jesus arrested and then got Jesus executed. In John's gospel, instead, it's the beginning. It foreshadows where the whole story is going. And Jesus' big, dramatic point is, tear this temple down. God doesn't live here anymore. And then pointing to himself, he says, God lives here. Isn't that great? One of the few stories about Jesus' life that makes it into all four of the Gospels, which is a way of saying, I guess, that it went viral. And can I say that this story has always, always embarrassed Christians a little bit? I mean, wasn't Jesus the peace-loving, sheep-cuddling, let the children come, water into wine, lovey-dovey, law and order Messiah? But here in this passage, you know, he's kind of rowdy. He's kind of righteous and rebellious, willing to start an argument about something that was important. And it's always embarrassed Christians a little bit because isn't Jesus protesting a temple and a system that God built, endorsed, even commanded? Maybe. I mean, maybe he's protesting a temple and a system that God commanded, but it seems like it has become an assembly line of forgiveness. It's so efficient at this point that you can pay your shekel and walk out free and clear, your sins forgiven, and your life completely unchanged, unreformed. It's a marketplace that they have created, Jesus says. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he says it's a hideout for bandits. This temple is coming down. And now, can I remind us of a sequence of events you probably know very well? We think Jesus was born about the year zero and he died about the year 30, give or take a few years. That's approximately the time frame. We think that John's gospel was written about the year 100, you know, give or take a decade, we're not sure, but about the year 100. In between those two events, in the year 70, the temple was destroyed. You know, not one stone upon a stone. The Temple Mount and much of Jerusalem was a ghost town, which means in John's lifetime, before anyone had ever read his gospel, the central question was, now what? What do we do now that the temple is gone? For Jews living in John's day, that was an important question. Their whole religion had centered on the temple. For Christian disciples living after the ascension when Jesus has gone up to heaven, the question, now what, was really salient. Now what? That Jesus isn't here with us. And I think for those of us gathered in this moment on this particular Zoom call, it's still an awfully good question. Now what? We might say, now what do we do? Now that the church has been splintered into thousands of different denominations, so splintered that everyone can find a church that will never challenge them because there's a million flavors to pick from. Now what do? Now that our children have decided substantially that the church is unnecessary and irrelevant, Christians in 2022 might ask, now what? After the ravages of this pandemic, in a world that is bitterly divided and polarized, where is God to be found now? That's the question. And it seems to me the Christian church in our day and time really needs to reflect on that question. Where is God after all that we've been through? And let me remind you of some of our traditional answers, and our generation can decide whether they are still helpful or not. Where is God to be found? In the life, teaching, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Where is God to be found? With Martin Luther, we might say, in the scriptures, which is the cradle that brings the Christ child. Where is God to be found? We might say with the ancient church, in the gathered community, where even just two or three people are gathered in his name. In the gathered community, even sometimes gathered on Zoom or Facebook Live. Where is God to be found? Hopefully we still believe in the proclaimed word when it is an honest and faithful engagement with not only scripture, but also the community that it would serve. Where is God to be found? In the sacraments. You know, through all of the pandemic, people have still longed to gather, still longed to have Holy Communion, still longed to have their babies baptized, still longed to have the church gather with them when it was time to marry or bury someone. Where is God to be found? In a reformed life, when we love, forgive, protect, and serve one another. You see, the faith then and now has always been more important than the buildings that housed it, always been more important than the traditions that reflect it, always more important than the systems that people invented to express it. Our faith is about the love of God made known in Jesus Christ. It's about celebrating that love. It's about sharing that love in all that we say and all that we do. Because the body of Christ, then and now, is the true home of God. And the body of Christ cannot be destroyed. Thanks be to God, and amen.
Amen. Let us continue with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is poured out upon us in abundance. So we are bold to pray for the church, the world, and all that God has made. By your Spirit, activate within your church the gifts of faith, healing, and prophecy. Unite those who profess your name across congregations, denominations, and geographic boundaries. Open our hearts to recognize and celebrate the surprising miracles that your work does. God of grace, hear our prayer. Your creation reflects your generosity. Bless farmers, migrant farm workers, orchard keepers, ranchers, and all who tend the abundance of the land. Protect food and water sources from destruction, and so that all can eat and drink and be satisfied. God of grace, hear our prayer. By your Spirit, grant wisdom, knowledge, and discernment to those who hold leadership positions at any level. Direct policymakers towards compassionate decisions that build up safe and just communities. Lead all authorities in seeking and serving the common good. God of grace, hear our prayer. As Jesus provided generously in a moment of need, provide generous gifts of healing for those in need this day. Provide abundantly for all who are hungry or thirsty, all seeking shelter, and all who seek peace. God of grace, hear our prayer. You see us for who we are, and you delight in us. Embrace those struggling with self-worth, wrestling with identity, or facing significant life transition. Remind us that nothing can separate us from your love. God of grace, hear our prayer. You bless us through the spiritual gifts of the saints who have gone before us. We give thanks for the life of Martin Luther King Jr. and all who have modeled the way of courageous faith. God of grace, hear our prayer. Since we have such great hope in the promises, O God, we lift these and all of our prayers to you in confidence and faith through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. And also with you. Feel free to unmute or turn on your video and share a sign of peace with one another.
Peace be with you.
That's peace.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace, everyone.
Be with you.
Mm-hmm. Peace be with you.
Peace. The benefits of Zoom is that we can still share the peace, which is beautiful. We will continue with thanksgiving for the word. Let us pray. O God of justice and love, we give thanks to you that you illumine our way through life with the words of your Son. Give us the light we need, awaken us to the needs of others, and at the end, bring all the world to your feast. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from a time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. God, who leads you in pathways of righteousness, who rejoices over you and who calls you by name, bless your going out and your coming in today and forever. Amen. go with Christ into a weary world to share the good news. Thanks be to God. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. It was so good to see you all. Have a good week.
Bye-bye.
Have a great week.
Have a great week.